We're talking to Rocky Moretti now. He joins us, Director of Policy and Research with TRIP, a National Transportation Research Organization. Good morning, Rocky. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm asking the audience here at 504-260-1870 because I know part of this has to do with people that are driving aggressively, taking increased risks after the COVID pandemic, and some people look at driving as a competition, which if you're driving NASCAR or Indianapolis, it is, but not on the highways, right, as you're trying to get to work. So if it were to somehow be possible to have all the cars controlled by computer or electronically, and you didn't have to do anything, and there was this big system that made sure that everybody played fair, you couldn't go 120 miles on left lane of the interstate, but you could pass somebody if they were not going fast enough, and nobody in the right lane in a interstate could be tying it up going 50. If everybody was playing by the rules, would you be willing to surrender that authority? And I'm asking people at 504-260-1870 to text in if they're in or they're out, and I'll give you the results in a little bit. Would that work? Theoretically, do people sometimes look, Rocky, at driving as a competitive event?
Well certainly we know what's not working, which is we've seen traffic fatalities across the country increase dramatically over the last 3 years, from 2019 to 2022. In Louisiana, traffic fatalities are up 21%. Now, that's a period where we've also seen vehicle miles of travel increase by 6%. So traffic's back, and it's actually higher than it was pre-COVID. And so certainly this high rate of traffic fatality rates in Louisiana, much higher than the national average and continuing to increase, is costing the state billions of dollars in economic costs. And when you factor in the real costs, which are quality of life, if a member of your family is killed in a traffic crash or if you're seriously injured and disabled, we need to do something to bring the traffic fatality rates down and make our system safer.
Tell me about this report. What were you trying to look for, and what did it show you?
We noticed that beginning with the pandemic, the traffic fatality numbers across the country had increased, and they were already significantly too high. It's really unacceptable that across the country we're seeing so many traffic fatalities. By 2021, it was up to 42,000 traffic deaths across the country, and that number remained largely the same the next year. Once researchers started to try and figure out why is this happening, and clearly the pandemic seemed to be the triggering factor, what they came back with was a lot of analysis and research that showed that aggressive driving, additional speeding, additional impaired driving, additional distracted driving, all had gone up since the pandemic and continued at that high level. And so we've started to put out reports pointing out that fact and then looking at what would it take to bring that traffic fatality lower. Ultimately, zero is the goal, but what are the steps that are needed?
I don't know if there's correlation here that can be proven, but it would seem like, just anecdotally, no cars on the road, little to no law enforcement, because police officers, I think the leading killer of police officers during the pandemic was COVID itself, right? So maybe less enforcement. People thought they had the highways to themselves, therefore they could do whatever they wanted. And then as other people started to get back on the roadway, the aggressive drivers didn't change. Any proof of that, or is that just anecdotal?
No, there was research, particularly, as you've mentioned, with reduced law enforcement. It appeared that law enforcement is certainly coming back to what we saw before the pandemic. But I think some of your additional premise, which was initially there was less traffic, although traffic largely is back at those higher levels. Somehow behavior faltered during the pandemic, and we haven't gone back to the type of travel behavior that's necessary. And that's critically one of the key steps starts with the drivers. We need to be doing a better job of driving safely, obviously not being impaired while we're driving and not being distracted. But we also need to invest in making our transportation system safer. And also this includes pedestrian and bicyclists, which account for about 20% of these fatalities. So we need to be doing a better job driving, but we also need to be investing to make the safety improvements on our roadways that are necessary.
We're going to talk about some solutions in a minute. Talk about the economic burden, if you will, of all of these fatalities.
based on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which does a lot of analysis of these costs, in Louisiana, the costs last year were $9 billion in economic costs. Those are our lost productivity, health care costs, property damage. But when you add in the quality of life costs, what's the value of someone has lost their life, or someone in your family has been killed, or you're disabled to the point that your life has been significantly altered, and that's estimated as an additional $28 billion in value in Louisiana. So the significant cost of this just tremendous number of traffic fatalities and serious crashes.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. I'd like to hear from the audience at 504-260-1870. This is strictly a hypothetical, but if the technology existed where cars were programmed so they drove themselves, but nobody broke the traffic laws, you couldn't break them, but the guy in the other car couldn't either, so nobody's getting ahead of you, nobody's speeding, nobody's this, nobody's that. Would you be in favor of that? Would you take control out of your hands if it was out of everybody else's hands as well? So at a zipper lane, for example, nobody'd zoom ahead. Nobody'd get ahead in the lane too early. Everybody would do what they're supposed to do. It'd work perfectly. Nobody'd run red lights. Nobody'd sit in the left lane going 40 on the interstate, nor would somebody be going 180 in the left lane of the interstate. Would you be willing to surrender that control, presuming hypothetically that it could be done flawlessly? Would you let it be taken out of your hands? And do you think it would be safer? 504-260-1870. I would, but only if everybody had to play by the same rules. 620 more when we return. Traffic Now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning. Thanks for getting it started with us here at WWL. Rocky Moretti is our guest, Director of Policy and Research with TRIP, a National Transportation Research Organization. I was asking you, just posing the question, theoretically, if it was guaranteed to work, would you be willing to let all the cars be controlled by a computer where nobody could cheat, nobody could drive impaired because the car is driving itself, everybody would be able to, nobody would be able to flaunt the rules. Somebody texted and said no, because somebody would always find a way to cheat. Somebody else said, yes, for sure, I would. Somebody else texted in, yes, absolutely. Cars programmed so they can't break the traffic laws. Even on the interstate, I rarely even hit 8 above the speed limit. That being said, Rocky, if we're going to talk about solutions, we got to talk about identifying the problems first, right? So what are they? Is it distracted driving? Is it lack of enforcement? Is it driving while impaired that are causing these fatalities? Or is it same old thing as it always has been, speeding?
If you look at a comprehensive set of solutions that the U.S. Department of Transportation and state transportation agencies have really put together, it really lays out, I think, a very logical matrix. Obviously, it starts with the driver obeying traffic laws, including not speeding, clearly not being impaired or distracted, but it also includes improving the safety of the system. We know how to do that if we have adequate resources. It also looks at things like post-care crash to make sure that when you are seriously injured, that it's dealt with as quickly as possible. And the last part are safer vehicles. If you look at autonomous vehicles, 5 or 6 years ago, they were overhyped. Ford said that by last year, we'd have vehicles without seeing happen. But what has been happening is incrementally safety improvements are being built into vehicles, things like emergency braking that will sometimes help you if you put yourself in a dangerous situation. And we are starting to see some incremental safety benefits. But, you know, part of it is human nature. We have a system now where 42,000 people a year are being killed by vehicles, by us as individuals behind the wheel. Our level of tolerance for fatalities or serious crashes involving a vehicle where there's some type of additional intelligence helping to operate it is in question. And so I think that's the human nature involved here. And we're going to have to do all of these things to make safety improve significantly on our system.
And the point of my question was to try to surface if you look at driving as a competitive event, or you're willing to play by the rules until you see somebody else cheating. Then it's like, well, wait a minute. If they're going 100, I'm going to go 100. Then before you know it, 18 people are going 100 and somebody's dead.
Absolutely. And that's why you need all of those working together. But it starts with the driver. Certainly there's a place for enforcement. And we also think there's a place for technology. But I think we have more realistic expectations now. If you buy a new vehicle, most of them now are coming equipped with some type of driver assist. And we are seeing some benefits of that. But I think it's still going to take a real cultural realization that it starts with the person behind the wheel.
What about electric vehicles? I saw a story not too long ago about the weight of electric vehicles and how that could be a concern because of the batteries, and they are energy efficient, at least that's what they say, because they don't burn any fuels, but they are very heavy. Is that a concern that you guys are looking at, that when it comes to velocity and mass and force, the electric vehicles could cause a hazard that perhaps people have not looked toward or recognized?
Well, certainly we know with larger vehicles, with commercial trucks, obviously the physics are heavier and larger weight vehicles potentially can cause more damage, and so that's certainly an issue. We also now see potentially battery technology coming online in several years that may not require quite the same weight. So it is certainly part of the environment that's being looked at in terms of traffic safety in the future.
Thank you, Rocky. Appreciate your time. Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research with TRIP, a national transportation research organization. We'll talk